One of the why tonight I'd like to talk about accepting a challenge. Most of us love and appreciate a challenge. The challenges that you like may be in different areas than the challenges that I enjoy. But very often you'll hear someone say, you know, I just love the challenge that I have. And there are people who want to do certain things just simply because it's a challenge to them to do that. So we come to love and enjoy the challenge, and then when we have accomplished the end that we had hoped to gain, it makes us feel real good. Whether it's in business, whether it's in our personal life, whether it's in our family, or whether it's in the church. And of course tonight, the challenge that I want to talk about is a challenge that we have before us in serving Jesus Christ. And it's a real challenge and one that most of us have accepted, and I hope that we are performing in a way that we really ought to. And if you haven't accepted that challenge tonight, I want to encourage you to do that. When I think about a challenge, I can't help but think of the story of David and Goliath. Here was a real challenge, but here was a young man that was able to accept the challenge, and a man who did well with the decisions that he had made. I'm not going to take time tonight from 1 Samuel 17 to read all of this story, but if you would like to, when you go home tonight, refresh yourself and remember some of the applications that I will make of the things that are recorded here. Here was a giant that defied the armies of Israel. He offered a challenge, but there wasn't too many people that were willing to accept the challenge that he had made. But there was one young man that did. When we think of Goliath, we think about the size of the man. 6 cubits in a span. Now, I believe that a cubit generally is about 18 inches. By most authorities, it would be in that area, 18 to 20 inches. You think of 6 cubits, you're going to think about 9 feet, and the span will be a little more. So we're talking about a man that's almost 10 feet tall. No wonder they called him a giant. I'm not quite 6 feet tall tonight, and you put another 4 feet above that and think of what would be standing here before you this evening. And then you read about his armor and the weight that he carried and his spear, and his character would just simply humiliate everybody. But there was one young man that was able to accept the challenge and go out to meet this giant. He said, I defy the armies of Israel. But let me tell you today that the challenge of Satan to you and me is just as great as the challenge that the giant made to other people. Satan is a giant in the world today in that he's everywhere. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And in your own imagination this evening, if you can just think of this giant of a person who comes out to roar a challenge against the armies of Israel, and compare that with the roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I tell you today, we've been challenged. We've been called out to battle. You know, the Christian life is called a fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. But all too often, people have not accepted the challenge. And just like those people who lived in fear for at least 40 days that he did this. You know, the Bible said they were dismayed and greatly afraid, 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. He come out and challenged and defied the armies of Israel, and those people were afraid. They were dismayed. They hadn't accepted the challenge. Finally, they had put the armies in array against each other. But in verse number 20 of 1 Samuel 17, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Now his father had asked him to take some food and refreshments and to check on his brothers who had gone with Saul to the battle. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. What did they do? The Bible said they fled from him. They were afraid. They turned and ran. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not yet proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a strip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistine fell down by the way of Zeraiman unto Gath and unto Ekron. Now when you have an opportunity, I'd like for you to go back and read some of the things about Saul and about the things that led up to this challenge that this young man was able to meet. And then there are a few things that we've read tonight that I want to refer to and make an application to challenges that have been offered to you and me today. Number one, notice that David simply stumbled onto this situation. Now, he really didn't go down here to fight. He wasn't able to go with his brothers. The four oldest brothers went with Saul to the battle. But David was a man who went to tend the sheep. So really, his responsibility was not to do battle. He had not gone down to war. But when he comes down here to check on his brothers, he actually stumbles on to a situation that he hadn't expected to find. There are a lot of times that you and I in this world are going to be faced with situations that we had not expected. And we're going to be called upon to meet the challenge. And they may come to us at the most unexpected times. Satan is not asleep. He's on the job. And as a roaring lion, Peter said, walk about seeking whom he may devour. And very often, without warning and without notice, we're going to be faced with a situation to where we're going to either have to accept the challenge or turn and run. Now, this challenge could be from an employee. It could be from an employer. It could be from a fellow employee. It could have to do with the world. It could have to do with lust. It could have to do with things that are exactly contrary to the teachings of the Bible and Christianity, because the world is filled with sin and iniquity. And those challenges come our way every day. And we need to be prepared to meet them. We need to be prepared to answer to the call when we are challenged in our Christian living, in our church work, in our worship, whatever the case may be. We're going to need to be able to face the challenge. And a lot of times these things are things that we just stumble onto. You know, in Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God being like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearl, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now here's a man that is actually seeking goodly pearl. But in a parable just preceding this, he said the kingdom of heaven was like a man that was working in his field, and he found a hidden treasure. He wasn't looking for treasure. The other man was seeking goodly pearl. He just stumbled onto the treasure. See, it was something that he hadn't expected, but there it was. And the Bible said, for joy he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And any time that we are challenged because of our faith in Jesus Christ and our determination to live as Christians, we, as Paul said, ought to count it all joy that we can suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, this man was disappointed in others to meet the challenge. David couldn't believe the situation that he found. When he got down here to check on his brothers, here's this giant coming out to challenge the people every morning. And he heard that. And he saw the people of Israel. They were dismayed, and they fled, and they were sore afraid. Have you ever heard of people running scared? I think maybe they were running scared. And you know, David was really disappointed in what had taken place here. And he questioned them. And he wanted to know if there was not a man that could go out and meet him. You know, David didn't run from the challenge. And I suppose he wondered why other people hadn't done it already, but he was willing to accept that challenge. Well, I think sometime today we are disappointed in the readiness of people that face challenges in the world. And they're not always ready, and they have not always accepted the challenge. The apostle said, be ready to give every man an answer that asks of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. You know, when people inquire of our salvation, and they inquire of why we believe what we believe, we ought to be glad to tell them and accept the opportunity, but sometimes people don't do that. We ought to always be ready to give an answer to the people that ask us. And this is the way that we stand up for the truth and for Jesus Christ and show that to others. And more than that, sometimes we may look for opportunities. In 1 John 4, verse 1, John said, be sober, be vigilant. Remember what Peter said about the devil? John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. We need to be ready to accept that challenge. Not only tonight do you have the right to question the things that I preach, you have the responsibility to do that. And we need to accept that challenge. You know, some of us are working on some material to present to people when they come and knock on your door and want to talk to you about what they believe in a religious way. You know, to me, that's a challenge. But I hear people talking about shutting the door in their face when they come. I don't know if that's the proper approach or not. I know one thing. It makes them feel good because they feel like they are suffering for their cause and they're glad to do that. And I think it makes them stronger instead of weaker. But I believe that you and I ought to be ready, we ought to be willing and able to accept the challenge that they bring to our door and take the same challenge to their door, if possible for us to do that. Here is a man that not only was ready to accept the challenge, but was disappointed in others who had not. Number three, his brother was upset with him. You know, Eliab didn't like what was going on, his oldest brother. Do you remember the story of Saul going to Amalek to utterly destroy the Amalekites, to come back to Samuel to report that he had done as he was told? And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep that I hear and the lowing of the oxen in mine ear? If you have done what you were told to do, what's this I'm hearing? Well, he said, the people have brought them back to make sacrifice unto God. He said, hath the Lord his great delight in sacrifices and burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of God? Behold, to obey is better than the sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, of course, Saul could not be king any longer because of his sin and his failure to obey. And remember that Samuel was told to take the horn of oil and go to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be a replacement for Saul. And he went down there and he brought his eldest son before him. Here he is, Eliab. And you know, when Samuel saw the man, he said, surely the anointed of the Lord is before me. But then the Lord had to remind him, the Lord looketh not upon the outward appearance of a man, but upon a man's heart. So he brought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of these. He said, have you any other sons? He said, I have one other. And he said, he's in the field tending the flock. And he said, go and fetch him, because we will not sit down till he has come. That was David. Now here we have these two men again. Here is Eliab, and he said, this was the eldest brother. When he heard him speak and say unto the men, Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down here that thou mightest see the battle. And he was disappointed in his brother. But you know, a lot of times today there are going to be people who are disappointed in us if we accept the challenge. They'll be disappointed and they'll say, well, why are you doing this and why are you doing that? Yeah, I know what you've got in mind. Well, you know, really, that wasn't the purpose that David come. I don't read anywhere that he had a naughty heart. Nor that he had come down here just so he could see the fighting going on. He had stumbled onto a situation that wasn't good. And then when he was willing to take it in his own hand, his brother complained about it and got after him pretty sharply. But you know, in spite of this, David was not overcome. He was not upset. At any time that you have opposition from other people, I don't want you to be upset. Well, I know the religious world is going to make fun of you and me because of the things that we believe and do. That's not unusual. People will talk about the Church of Christ and they say, oh, they're that little bunch of believers, just they and their Their own little ones are the only ones who are going to be saved. Well, I've never heard my brethren preach that. I don't know where they get that idea. Well, I really think I do. They get that idea from someone who is upset with the church, just like this man began to make some accusations that probably were not the truth because he was upset with his brother. You know, I read the parable of the prodigal son. That's what we often refer to it as, the parable of the prodigal son, in Luke 15. But then I read about the older son right after that. And it makes me wonder who was the more prodigal, because he had a lot of problems too. And you know, when he returned from the field and he heard music and dancing, he called one of the servants and wanted to know, said, "What's all this mean?" Well, he said, "If your brother has returned and your father has received him safe and sound, and he has killed the fatted calf." The Bible said he was angry and would not go in. He was angry and would not go in. You know, that still happens in this generation. People get angry with you and they get upset. "Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he said, 'All of these years have I served thee, neither at any time have I transgressed thy commandment. And thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.'" You know, that's the first time I've read in this chapter about that young man devouring his living with harlots. I hear a lot of people talking about that. But the only man that ever accused him of that was a brother that was upset. Well, somebody said, "What do you think it means to waste the substance with righteous living?" I'm telling you tonight that righteous living could include many things other than harlots. It might include a harlot, but that doesn't say that it has to. See, that's kind of the nature of man at work, isn't it? Well, his brother was disappointed with him too. And there'll be a lot of people that will be disappointed with you, but don't let that get you down. You know, when one of my older brothers would get after me about something, it had a tendency to kind of get me down. Those were big boys, and they'd get after me sometimes pretty sharply. But I finally grew up and got big enough that I didn't have to take that anymore, and I told them I didn't, and things got better. And you know, David isn't very big, but he has a lot of courage. And above all, he feels that he has God on his side, and he's not backing up to his brother or to a man that's perhaps 10 feet tall. Number four, I want you to consider David's positive attitude in spite of all the odds. I hear a lot of negativism in the world today. I hear a lot of people who say, "I can't." I hear a lot of people who say there's no use to try. I hear a lot of people who have lost their positive attitudes, like Paul, who said in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And within reason, the things that we do for God, I doubt that there's very little that you and I cannot still accomplish today." Now, we could get out of line and out of hand and take on more than God had expected us to and find ourselves in trouble. I'm talking about doing things that God wants us to do. And we ought to have that attitude. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And this is the attitude that David had. He said, "Listen, I've had opposition before. I met a bear, I met a lion, and I whipped them both." And you know, he never took that credit for himself. He said, "The Lord that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this." He had all the confidence in God that he would help. Sometimes we lose confidence, don't we? We lose trust. Can you remember how you felt when you first obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you stood before perhaps an audience like this and you said, "I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then a culminating act of baptism that put you into the body of Jesus Christ That day there was no backing up, was there? There was no turning around. I felt like I could convert the world. I haven't made that yet. But remember the enthusiasm and the motivation that filled our hearts. We need it again tonight. And we need to take a lesson from this young man. Ruddy, of fair countenance, of small stature, but ready to take on the world. And that's the attitude that you and I ought to have, very positive in our thinking. Fun making did not stop him. He went out to meet this Philistine, and the first thing the giant did was make fun of him. It didn't get him there. He said, "Are you coming out after me with staves like you go out after a dog?" Yes, he was going to give him a little spanking or whip him and run him away. Fun making just don't get it done. You know, I think sometimes if we had a little more opposition and we had a little more pressure and we had people gigging us about what we believe and why we believe, we'd probably do a better job in proclaiming to others what and why we believe certain things. See, nobody bothers as much in this generation. I'm glad that we have religious freedoms, just like we thank God tonight that we can meet and worship without being bothered or without being hindered in any way. I'm thankful for that, and I thank God for it every day, and I hope that we'll always continue to do that. But sometimes such freedom and such luxuries make us soft. They really make us soft. We understand that if we're talking about physical strength, don't we? Sometimes somebody says, "You know, I'm getting too soft." So we need the proper diet and exercise to get us back in shape. That's what we need spiritually, too. The proper diet and the proper exercise to get us back in shape, because too often we have become soft. Remember a while ago, I mentioned to you that people will make fun of us for being members of the Church of Christ? They'll do it. It happens all the time. And you know, I think every time I hear that it makes me stronger and more determined than I've ever been before. We were driving down the freeway in California one time, stopped to get some gas. That's back when they had service stations, not filling stations. And the fellow came out to wash the windshield, and he noticed my Bible laying there on the dash. I got out and he said, "Oh, you're a preacher, huh? And you know, you learn to look for these fellas because they'll really pick on you." And I said, "Well, I guess I plead guilty to that." And he said, "What church?" And I said, "Well, is there more than one?" "Oh," he said, "Church of Christ." I said, "I'll give you credit for having read the Bible a little bit." That kind of left that conversation. But see, people pick on you everywhere. They'll tell jokes about someone going to heaven, and they pass it by. They see this group here and this group here, and they pass another group, and they think they're the only ones here. What does fun making do to you? You know, it bothers me a little bit, but maybe it makes me stronger. What did fun making do for David? Well, I guess it caused him just to kill me. Because that was the end result. Fun making from the denominational world or from the world in general doesn't bother me that much. Fun making from within the church bothers me a lot. And when I began to hear people criticizing those Bible-toting, scripture-quoting preachers, that hurts me. That hurts me. Because I've known too many of them. Some of them, your own flesh and blood. who were Bible-toting, scripture-quoting preachers, and had it not been for their efforts, we would not have enjoyed the church even as we do today. And the Lord willing, I plan to talk one time before this meeting is over on some things that are hindering the church, and tendencies toward depression is one of them. I saw men who left their homes and literally wanted for financial help that often they didn't receive, but were willing to sacrifice provisions for their own families to preach and to defend the gospel of Christ. And it hurts me today when I hear people making fun of those men. Maybe it'll make me work harder. Now don't misunderstand me to say tonight that if you can't quote the Bible, you can't be saved. But I will just tell you, young men of this audience this evening, when you're teaching the gospel, if you will be able to quote at least a part of the scriptures that you refer to, it'll be a handy tool for you to use in teaching and converting the world. And regardless of how much fun people may make of you, don't let me get you down. Now I don't want you to jump up and kill somebody. But don't let it get you down. Let it be a source of motivation to you. But this didn't bother David because of the confidence that he had in his helper. We forget that sometimes, don't we? And we think about what we have done and what we're going to do. And how we've been able to accomplish what we've been able to accomplish. Let me tell you, without God, there's not a thing in the world that you and I can do. The apostle said, in him we live and move and have our being in the world. David understood that to a very full extent, and we need to understand it. We need to realize that without God we can do nothing. Remember, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who came to Jesus and they said, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. He said, what would you that I should do for you? They said, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. He said, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I baptize with? And they said unto him, we can. There's that positive attitude. He said, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I baptize with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Mark 10, verse 35, Steve, if you're looking. You know, these men didn't really know what they were asking for. I think Jesus talked about a cup of suffering and a baptism of suffering. And when they said to the Lord, we can, I don't think they knew that James would be beheaded. I don't think John knew that he would be banished to the Isle of Patmos. They didn't know a lot of things that would come upon them. But as far as I'm able to determine, they did exactly what they told the Lord they could. And do you know that they could accomplish that only by the cup of suffering? Only of the help of God. And I want to tell you tonight that we will be successful in accepting the challenge only with the help of God. David chose five smooth stones from the group. Why five? I guess he didn't use but one of them. Somebody said, don't look like he had too much confidence if he took five, if he just needed one. Which brings me to tell every one of you, and especially young men, as you prepare to preach the gospel, always prepare yourself well.
And to every person who serves in the kingdom of God, prepare yourself well.
That's what David did. You know, it's better to have ammunition than not need it. It's to need it and not have it. I read about five wise and five foolish virgins. When I start reading about them, I learn that there's so many things about them that are like, one, they're all virgins. They've all heard an invitation. They've all accepted the invitation. They all went forth to meet and greet the bridegroom. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye forth to meet him. And the Bible said to them, all those virgins arose to trim their lamps. The foolish discovered that their lamps had gone out. I believe the margin says, keep on going out. And some of you here tonight probably are old enough to remember those coal oil lamps. When they were just out of oil, they burned up a little and down and up a little. Why, the oil was consumed. The margin says, our lamps keep on going out. And they said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But he said, not so. The wise said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins knocking at the door and said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he said, I know you not. Depart from me. What happened? They looked pretty much alike, didn't they? But now all of a sudden there's a difference. What's the difference? The Bible says when the bridegroom came, they that were ready went in with him to marry. That tells me that somebody was not ready. See why I said prepare yourself well. David was ready. But he was ready. I want you to accept the challenge. And I want you to be ready. Remember from Matthew 14, the story of Peter. Jesus came walking on the water. The disciples saw him and they were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. I guess today we'd call it a ghost. And they were afraid, but Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto you. And the Lord said, and you know, I guess I let my imagination run away from me sometimes, but I can just see old Peter. He bailed off the side of that boat and started walking out there to Jesus, but didn't notice what the scripture said. But when he saw the winds boisterous, what happened? He took his eyes off the Lord, didn't he? And he began to see all those waves as they boiled up there around him. When he saw the winds boisterous, he began to sink. You know, the Lord reached down, took him by the hand, lifted him up, helped him back to that boat. But that happened to us sometimes. Don't we take our minds off Jesus at times? We get to see other things, obstacles that are in the way. We lose that positive attitude, and the first thing you know, we're overcome of little trivial things that never should have been in our way. Paul said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. In conclusion and action, may I tell you that God uses small people and small things to accomplish his will. You may be the person. You may have those things within your grasp. When you read in the Bible about compliments that Jesus made of people, usually they were small things. The widow of two mites. Mary with the precious ointment. Oh yes, he was criticized. Said that she made a waste and it should have been sold and the price given to the poor. Jesus said, let her alone. What? Let her alone. Fine. She had done what she could. That makes us great with God. That's what God has expected of you and me. Not to accomplish the impossible. It wasn't impossible for David to overcome this giant with the help of God. And many, many things are possible with you and me today with the help of God. We will never fail with God's help. But when we fail to accept the challenge and we leave God out of our hearts and our lives, we have to be problems. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, Satan's that. He's issued a challenge. He wants to kill you in eternal destruction from the presence of God and from the glory of his power. Are you going to let that happen? Or are you going to say with the help of God, I will overcome the devil? You can do that today. You can be afraid. You turn and run. The devil will be right now. And he'll chase you as long as you live, and he'll cause you to lose your soul. accept the challenge tonight and just step out before men and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've been a Christian and you've left the church, you didn't stay with that challenge, did you? But now listen, you don't have to be overcome by that. And you don't have to think that it is a shame for a person to admit that they have sinned. The shame would be for us not to confess our sins and get rid of them. That's a real challenge. It would take a lot of courage and determination and a strong faith on your part just to step out before me tonight and say that I have sinned and pray God to be forgiven. But let me tell you, when you do that, your sins will be gone. You will whip the devil. And you don't have to let him into your life. God will help you keep it down. You won't accept that challenge today. While we stand and sing the invitation song.